Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. I was so excited, and I just told the author that over the phone, so excited to have this book come across my desk because it fits in so well with our Mental Health Week programming. It's called The Crusade for Forgotten Souls, Reforming Minnesota's Mental Institutions, 1946 through 1954. The author, Susan Bartlett Foote, joins us this morning on the phone. Susan, hi, and thanks so much for joining us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
You've got to tell us the story of how you found the story of where the idea came to you. Frequently an idea is, Isaac Newton, an apple fell on his head and he had this brilliant idea and something fell on your head and you had a brilliant idea. So tell us about it.
Well, I'm a retired professor from the University of Minnesota. I was minding my own business and helping my son clean out. He was moving. I was helping him clean out his closet, and a bag fell on my head. And in it were a lot of papers from his grandfather, who'd been my father-in-law, that he'd been sent when his grandfather passed away. He didn't know what to do with them, put them on the top of the closet. They fell on my head when I was cleaning it. And inside were this, it was incredible, this scrapbook with these yellowed clippings from the 1940s with pictures of the governor and, stories of this reform, some speeches, typed on an old typewriter and some photographs from the newspaper of, extraordinary suffering. And it was intriguing. And that's how I started. And it was a four-year odyssey of discovery. It's a story that not very many people know about, but at the time, after the Second World War, Minnesota's mental institutions, of which there were seven, there were about 15,000 people in these places, Minnesotans, in the institutions at the time, was among the worst in the nation. And to the extent anybody knows about this reform, Governor Luther Youngdahl gets all the credit. And my story is the story of the ordinary people who were the ones who inspired the governor to take on the issue, wrote most of the legislation, broke through the stigma to build a statewide citizens' effort for reform, and actually saw some major reforms occur. And the heroine of the book, and I know this is Mental Health Week, but it's also Sitten Demai, and the heroine of the book is a Norwegian-American farmer's daughter from up in Marshall County who was inspired, and that story tells her story of why she was inspired to become to work in the institutions, found that they needed reform and fought her way up with great courage and persuaded a small church group to take on the effort, and that's a very inspiring story of commitment to reform.
Well, and someone seeing something and saying something and doing something. One of the most fascinating things that I think I've learned in the last few years is to have it articulated that what we know of history depends in such large part about the historical record, and what we know about the historical record depends on who wrote it. And mm-hmm. the folks that wrote it frequently were the ones that won, in air quotes, or they wanted the story told. Mm-hmm. And I think that the whole idea of looking at the historical record now and realizing that the people who wrote it did have an agenda of some sort, not always an evil agenda, but there was an agenda there, and they wanted a story told. What do you think mental health reforms or institutional reforms would have been like without some of the journals and accounts and photographs from people who provided, the information that you found mm-hmm. in that bag?
Mm-hmm. Well, the information in the bag was the starting point, and it was very important because this is a forgotten story. I mean, it's forgotten souls, but it's a forgotten story of these people. Minnesotans don't know this story. But it's interesting what you say about digging into the historical record, particularly challenging when the movers and shakers in the story are ordinary people, not, you know, folks who are going to have, you know, lots of papers in the Minnesota Historical Society. And the value for me was this chance discovery of Angela Shea was the name of this woman I just described, her diaries and stories that she wrote at the time in the 1940s that were in the possession of a great-great niece in Wisconsin. And I tracked down, I was looking for descendants of various of these people I was writing about, and I found them. And those were written not to impress anybody. Those were her private thoughts, her private observations. And so that adds a richness that you don't find in, you know, sort of traditional historical documents, because she wasn't writing to persuade anybody. She was writing what she thought.
What were the conditions? And I realize that this is a question that encompasses a lot, but what were some of the things that struck you about the conditions that she described about the way that these institutions were running, the way that the people were treated, that really struck a chord with you as you were reading, in particular, her firsthand accounts of what she was seeing?
Yes. The first point to make is that it was a systemic problem. It was the state and its underfunding and its kind of cynical attitude. I think it's important for all readers and listeners to know that the employees were not, you know, an unrelievable evil group. They were often underpaid and understaffed and undertrained. So it's important to know that. But in terms of the actual conditions, one was diet. I mean, the food was unpalatable. Children in Faribault, which was considered one of the institutions in the time, were malnourished and sick from the lack of quality food. The other that really struck me were the restraints, and Minnesota was one of the worst states in terms of overuse of restraints, which is straitjackets and people, you know, tied with leather straps to chairs for, you know, weeks and weeks at a time. The other, I think, that was striking was the fact that about 35% of the admissions were senile elderly. There was no nursing home industry. There was no place for old folks to go if they had no one else, or family couldn't care for them or were working, or, you know, all the conditions that we now know when older people go to a nursing home. They had to be adjudicated insane, and then they were sent to a mental hospital and often tied to beds because there'd be 100 senile ladies in one ward with one person taking care of them.
And of course, our way of, you know, remembering, our selective, you know, memory and the kind of the fiction that we want to create to make mm-hmm. it is that, to make it better, is that mom and dad came to live with the kids. But
right.
there, you know, not everybody had kids, and, you know, how much better, you know, that we know better, we're doing better. It's not perfect
right.
by a long shot, but we
right.
do know better, and we're doing better.
And one thing I've encountered, because I've talked a great deal with people as I've been doing the research and now with the book out, is how many people in Minnesota now, this is years later from these particular conditions, had an uncle, a grandmother, a neighbor's kid, and nobody talked about it, and they would disappear, and it was shameful. And, you know, the culture of shame was so pervasive. And we still struggle, I think, as a society with some of that, you know, ridicule of crazy people or insensitivity. But the silence, the shame was so extensive that it was difficult for families to even seek help. In the book, for those who read it, there are stories of families, particular instances where they couldn't manage the family member and were heartbroken with what they had to do, which is to commit them. Governor Youngdahl's files were bulging with letters from people, ordinary people, asking the governor for help.
Susan, thank you so much for writing the book and for agreeing to join us today and talk a little bit about it. What a pleasure to have you with us.
Yes, well, it was a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Susan Bartlett Foote has written a book called The Crusade for Forgotten Souls, Reforming Minnesota's Mental Institutions, 1946 through 1954. Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.